the nature of the sport, Andy, lends itself to stuff like this. We know that. And any team can win three straight games against another team if some things go right. I just think it's an odd thing that happened here. But I wonder how much do you put credibility into this? Do you bank on this? Does it eliminate a 10-game losing streak where your team couldn't hit at all? What does this do for you? Because I would think that there are decisions to make coming up. They have to be making some decisions by the trade deadline, and I also think they have to make decisions about what's going to happen with certain players on the team because they have an abundance of guys who they're just sorting through at various positions, second base, right field, center field. And I think eventually you have to figure out something here and decide on somebody. But I just wonder what the last 3 days have done to that because you beat a team that has a 6.5-game lead still in the Western Division right now.
All right, so you're sitting here at 4.5. Again, I go back to the decisions they make now feel very similar to the same decisions they would have made Terry Francona's last year. Is that right? Yeah, when they decided to trade Aaron Civale. For some reason, I can't let that go because it's my reference point, I think, for what they're going to do at this point. You're 4.5 back in the wild card. So that's where you're sitting. And if you're sitting here going, okay, they're 4.5 back, and now they play the White Sox, if they do what they're supposed to do over the next couple days, chances are that maybe they can creep back even just, I'll take a game. Just give me one game to move up in the standings. And now I'm sort of...
I mean, they're in it. There's no question. They're still in the wild card
race. So what do you want to be? I've thought...
Well, let me throw this at you, though. And I know you didn't care about this. I think this is... And somebody was with us earlier this week talking baseball with us. I think it was Mike Petriello.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike said, I don't care about the games as much as I care about the teams.
And I said that earlier this week, too.
Because
the issue, though, is...
Ahead of them,
right,
in the wild card race, Texas, the Angels, Minnesota, Kansas City, Boston, and Seattle. You've got to hop all of those teams to get the wild card. And I just wonder if this team, with its offense that certainly has struggled, is capable of putting together enough offense to jump six teams. 4.5 games? Yeah, I mean, that's doable. But there are six teams that you have to outplay the rest of the way. That's the catch to me, because I don't think they can do that.
So
sure hope I'm wrong.
I think if you're looking at this...
I don't think they can.
So I think there's a stepladder approach to the way you want to look at it. If you think the Guardians can make it back to the playoffs, the first step they have to do is trying to get back into second place in the Central. That's the next step. And that's, a game and a half away. Because you're sitting there, you're behind Kansas City, and you're behind Minnesota. So the opportunity is going to be there to be able to jump those two teams. I think it's there. If you don't take advantage of it, then you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Your hitting probably still stinks. And
I mean, they have the fourth worst record in the American League right now.
Depends how you want to look at it. And I think the extra
those are the numbers.
Well, the numbers also tell me they're a game and a half out of second place in the Central. And that, you know, can they overcome that? If they do, now...
What does second place in the Central do for you?
I'm just saying that's the place you want to get to.
Get you a box of bonbons at the end of the year.
All right, then never mind. You're a game and a half back on being the next team out of the playoffs. You and your bonbons. I'll give you bonbons. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you can get to that, it's a game and a half.
Yeah, they're 14.5 out of first place, and there's the playoff spot.
I guess it's just the way you live your life and the way I live my life.
Second place doesn't get you anything.
I'm saying to you, if you want to listen to what I'm saying,
gobbledygook.
It's a stepping point. You've got to start setting goals to try to get back in this thing. So the first goal is you need to get over Kansas City and Minnesota. And by the way, if you do that, now you're behind Boston, who's tied for a spot in the playoffs. So you got to take baby steps to get back in it. You dug yourself a tremendous hole with this 10-game losing streak.
Baby steps.
But by the same token, you can get back into it. And I said this, and you guys all looked at me like I was I want to say it, but I'm not going to say it because I'm
a genius.
I need the job. They were playing the best teams in baseball. Okay? And you know what? To succeed in the playoffs, you're going to have to play the best teams again if you're going to get there.
They do have a much easier schedule ahead.
Oh, well, now you'll admit that? When I was saying to you they're losing to first-place teams and they're also not catching breaks and a little bit of this. Yeah, and then I walked in here on Monday and I was depressed and I said, wave the white flag, this thing is over. And then all of a sudden, boom, you take a little trip to Houston, calm down, maybe take a Xanax or something, and you relax. Now you get back into this thing, and you're ready to roll.
If you just beat up on the lousy teams, you are going to probably have a losing record. You have to beat winning teams. Well, and they just did, which was good.
Yeah, they beat a good team. Now they play a lousy team, let's be honest, and it can boost you going into the All-Star break. You could feel halfway decent going into the All-Star break here.
If you happen to put together a sweep of the White Sox and you win what would that be, 7 straight?
It'll take you to a game under 500.
Which is tolerable. The only, I'm not arguing with you. I don't think they're done, but I think it's improbable that they jump 6 teams in the standings. I just think that's improbable. Not impossible, but improbable.
But the odds, and I forgot how many games they have against, but I mean, it's possible because two of those teams, one is the Twins, one's the Royals, because you know that competition is going to allow you the opportunity. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the opportunity will be there for you to try to at least jump those teams to get up there. Now, Boston's another. I mean, you're talking about, you like, the first step is to surpass those guys. The next step is probably to get over 500. Or if you want to look at it this way, get to 500 and then see where you're at and see how deep you are in the season. But the hardest part to the whole
Go wedgie on me.
One game at a time?
Win the series. If they can do that, they can start winning the series, then I think that it could be a very interesting rest of the summer.
3 out of 4, you're 2 games under .500. 2 games under .500 right now puts you in the team outside of getting into the playoffs. Okay, that's all. So I think we have the pitching to have some success in the playoffs.
There's the point. And here's what I want to get to is this. Though there are so many teams to jump, the number tells you that they're not that far out of a playoff spot, but there are just so many teams you have to jump. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, obviously. It's not making up 4.5 games. It's just that other teams are going to do the same thing, and they don't have as many to make up. It's this. Do you invest in this team with the trade deadline coming up at the end of July? That's the point. And can I go basketball on you here?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a mistake for the Cavaliers to think, well, we were injured, and that's why we lost. I think that's a mistake. And I don't think that they've done that, really, because they've gone out and they've made a couple of moves, and they might have another move or maybe even a big move ahead. We'll find out.
Are you saying that in general every year that should be a common staple, or are you saying that with this team right now, the way they are?
Just with this team right now. I think it would be a mistake for the Cavs front office to say, well, we had injuries, and that's why we got knocked out in the second round yet again.
I think
that'd be a mistake.
I would argue, because I would bring back up the argument that a lot of us thought the Cavaliers should have won that first trip against Golden State, but injuries hampered them from winning a championship.
Well, that was a specific series.
Yeah.
And you lost key guys right then.
Right.
And you could make the argument again here, but I think it's bigger than you had some injuries, and I've laid that out time and time again. If I'm the Guardians right now, I don't think you can think, yeah, that 10-game losing streak was just a blip. The fact that we got shut out so many times and we didn't hit, and our hitting was awful then, it's okay, because now we bounce back with 3 straight wins over the Astros. And if you happen to do well against the White Sox, I think that's a mistake. I think they have to look big picture here and take a look at their team.
The front office does.
Yes, yeah. And take a look at their organization and think, is this team built to not just compete this year, but can we make it better in the years ahead by making moves here at this trade deadline? The move that I think could make you better for years to come is trading Emmanuel Clase, if you decide to do that. That could also be a move that wouldn't be a good idea, because Class A might be the best closer in the game still, and he's under team control for a while. So I do think they have decisions to make, and I think they have to do a really thorough self-analysis here
and decide
whether or not, is this team built for the long haul?
Let me ask you this question. Can you trade someone off this roster without doing major damage and pick up 2 guys that can hit over 200 for the bottom of the lineup for everything after 4?
You got to shoot higher than that.
I agree, but last night, this is what your batting averages were after Santana: 143, 152, 140, 167, 110,
which
and
is
188.
Which is why, Andy, they can't be delusional, and they have to look at things. And if some team's going to give you 2 or 3 really good bat prospects for Emmanuel Clase.
So when do you make the decision?
As soon as somebody knocks your socks off.
I think you could get through this weekend and then say,
if somebody knocks your socks off, you make that move. Right. Bill's in Parma. Hey, Bill.
Hey,
welcome.
Hey, great discussion. I hate to be, kind of critical here, but we've been really under the spell of Mark Shapiro and his group since 2002. And Shapiro was general manager from 2002 to 2015. And underneath him was Antonetti, Chernoff.
And a lot of guys running other teams.
And they lost there, too. And like Neil Huntington and Charrington. And Charrington jumped from the Pirates and went to the Red Sox and got fired from both of those, as did Neil Huntington. And Shapiro is not one at Toronto, and they've had a lot of money there.
Wait, are you still mad at John Hart then, too, or no?
John Hart was able to find hitters.
But couldn't find pitching.
John Hart.
Up Oral Hershiser? Come on, man.
Oral did a nice job here. So did Dennis Martinez.
But I will tell you, I'd rather have our
discount with those guys. Yeah, keep going, sorry.
Andy, you did not enjoy John Hart's teams more than these teams?
No, I got to be honest. I mean, I know a lot of people want to kill the front office. I think that there's been a level of consistency that these guys have handed down to each other left and right. And would I like a couple World Series in there? Yes, I would have. But they still continually give me a team that can get to the playoffs, at least give me the opportunity, whether they're teasing me or not, at least every other year that they're there. And I know I sound old because I've heard this argument. Somebody was yapping about this the other day. But when we were kids, man, this team absolutely sucked, and we didn't care. They were our team. And maybe it's because of the media scrutiny. Maybe it's because there's just so many more outlets to pour your emotions out with and just be mad or not. But I actually think Chris has done a really nice job. I think Mark did a nice job. I think John did a great job. And I think that their overall philosophy was...
Hank Peter started it.
Yeah, and if I owned a team, I'd want those guys running my team. Take a look at some of the other teams in town that overreact sometimes. Maybe the overreaction got a championship for the Cavaliers. But by the same token, the Browns they could put as much money behind stuff and they still can't figure it out. So I think they're intelligent guys that know what they're doing over there. I wonder sometimes, what if on a lot of issues.
I think the difference is being a Cardinal fan and being what you guys have been through, this regime, and it's been a regime for 20 some years, would have been gone for not winning. And the other thing is whoever traded Junior Caminero to Tampa Bay.
Oops.
Yep. Yeah, he's 22.
Yeah, that didn't work.
And how about Diaz, the catcher for the Astros?
The Astros. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, Bill? And I agree. With you.
Anybody mad about the Joe Carter deal? Because after that happened, the team started to move in a different direction.
Well, again, to Bill's point, it's maybe misidentifying hitting prospects. That's where this team has an issue. So a couple things here about the Guardians. Congratulations, really, on beating Houston three straight and hopefully getting things back on the rails, and we'll see where it goes. I'm not going to get giddy about three straight wins over anybody in Major League Baseball. You start winning 5, 6, 7, 8, you get, there you go. You lost 10, so you've got a hole to dig out of. That said, Jose Ramirez, congratulations. You played well. Starting in the All-Star game. But Jose has decided not to attend the All-Star game. Is that boo-worthy? Or if you're a Guardians fan, is that, hey, nice job, thank you? Because he's dealing with some leg issues, Andy, that he wants to let heal up. And so he's not going to play in the All-Star game. And you've discovered what else?
Oh, he's not going.
He's not even
going
to go. Okay.
Yeah, he's not going either.
He's not going.
I would normally be like, look, it's the All-Star game. Just go. Just tip your cap to the fans who voted you in as a starter.
Cap tipper.
But it was the way Rick Manning responded to the question last week. And, I respect Rick. And so that's why I was kind of like, okay,
and
I get
he respects you, Andy.
Well, no, he just said, here it is. It's great that he made the All-Star team and that it's great that he's voted him, but he needs a break. And I think when Rick said that last week on our air, I was like, I don't know. When Rick says that, that makes it sound like he's going through the grind and he does need a break. I mean, still, the cat's hitting over 300. I mean, come on.
Cat.
So
I love it when you call somebody a cat. A cat's hitting over 300, man. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I don't mean just you. I just love that.
What, when people call someone a cat?
That guy's a cat.
I'm just
saying. A cat's hitting over 300.
He's a cool cat. He's a reason why.
He's a cool cat.
He's a reason why you go to the game to watch them in the first place.
A cool cat, baby.
Isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that what it's all about? To be a player that you say, I want to go to the game, or I'm going to invest 2.5 hours or 3 hours. Doesn't that sound nice that I said 2.5 hours?
I don't know. I'm picturing all three of us in zoot suits right now, and Andy, you by far would look the best in a zoot suit.
Well, that's cool. You know, I
remember when Jose was out.
Do you remember the Stray Cats? Man, they were so good.
Oh, absolutely.
Still around.
Brian Seltzer.
I ran into them in the 97 World Series at a bar, by the way.
I'm sure
Miami. That's a total ding.
That drummer was married to Britt Eklund or something. How'd that ever happen? Nonetheless.
I think it was Stray Cats.
I don't know. Nonetheless. Remember how putrid things were when Jose missed a couple of games during the losing streak? And you looked at the lineup and you thought, oh, my God. That's just, I mean, there was nothing there.
You're like, can Kwan bat 9 times? I was watching during this losing streak. I was like,
the answer is
you're
no.
Sitting and you're like, oh, my God, can we get back to the top of the order so we have a chance to score some runs?
I know.
Can we get back to the top of the order, please, please, please? Why am I so optimistic about Rocchio? I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
But for some reason, something about his at-bats the last couple of days, even though it
has Mrs. Rocchio is not even that optimistic about.
I don't know why. Maybe because I'm yearning for what he did during the playoffs last year.
This is going to come off sarcastic, and I don't mean it to, but it's 100% truth. It's Andy Dufresne. It's hope is a good thing. Sometimes it's the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. We hope that Brian Rocchio can turn into the next great Guardian shortstop who can hold down the fort for the next 5 to 7 years.
We want him to be Omar. Omar has told us on the show numerous times that he really likes Rocchio defensively and he thinks he's going to hit. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, it's not just that they're guys from Venezuela. I put a lot of faith in what Omar says about shortstops.
And a lot of other smart people have come on here and said this kid's immensely talented.
Yeah, I know.
And I think that's what we all keep holding on to. And then he had that playoff run that looked awesome, Andy.
He looked great. He looked like a major leaguer.
Just watching the last couple days, I've been like, okay, I think he's a little irked that he got sent back to Columbus, and I like that. I like that.
But he went down with a great attitude.
I know.
By all reports and worked on it. And so we'll see. We'll see. Something happened here that I think is really. I need you to help me unpack this.
Can you answer the other question first? If you were Jose, would you go just to put your hand up in the air and say hi to the fans?
If I feel like I'm dinged up, and he's obviously playing through it because he's, you know, we've seen him out there. He's playing through it. If he feels he's dinged up and he needs to get some time off for the second half of the season, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm okay with it, but I kind of needed Rick to tell me to be okay with it. If that makes sense to you.
Apparently.
Because from
Dan
a fan's
and I aren't
person,
enough?
Well, no, because you didn't play. I don't think did you ever? River on the field. I'm just making sure.
I help coach a baseball team.
Oh, that's good enough.
Hold on.
That's
right. With some kids. One of the kids the other day, I'm throwing wiffle ball batting practice to warm up before a game, and he said, Coach, how long were you in the majors? Or something like that. And I went, I said, dude, I didn't play in the majors. You played in college? No, I didn't play in college. I played in high school. I've done major league broadcasting. Okay, well, that's good enough. Thanks.
Yeah, my brother used to do this to me all the time. He'd be like, he'd have people walk up to him. How many times do you ever hear this when you're sitting there, especially when you're a coach? It's the last thing you want to hear is that, we have the major league baseball package, so I watch every game.
Yeah, that's
does that suddenly make you an expert?
Yeah, well, look at Madigan.
You're good at what, sitting on the couch and eating?
This whole conversation hurts.
There's Madigan. Yeah, I know.
It all hurts a little.
It is true.
Okay.
Are you a Madigan? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, listen to this.
I went outside yesterday.
I verbed you.
I need good. Both of you dudes to help me unpack this. See, dudes isn't as cool as cat.
No, it's not even
but
close.
But dudes is okay.
And you
dudes
sound
okay.
Dated.
You guys aren't cool enough to be cats. So
do I have to do the whole cool for cats thing?
Well, the Guardians just did something that I thought, what the heck is that all about? They sent Tim Herron down to the minors, and they brought, and Dan mentioned this in the jumpstart, and they brought Colby Allard back. And Colby was designated for assignment, wasn't claimed, despite the fact that he's actually pitched pretty well. I was surprised he wasn't claimed. And the word was he was going to opt for free agency. Instead, and maybe that was nod, nod, wink, wink, he agreed to a minor league deal with the Guardians. And then they sent Herron down and called Allard back up. Heron had options. So here's where I need you to help me unpack this. When Luis Ortiz got dismissed for temporarily until further notice.
Yeah.
I don't know, did they freak out or what did they do? Because they called up Joey Cantillo and they had some bullpen issues, okay? You needed some arms. You brought up Cantillo to start for Ortiz that day, and you also brought up Doug Nickhazy, former second-round pick lefty who's been up a couple of times now. And Nickhazy pitched one inning and then was sent back down, and they activated Paul Sewald and brought Paul back, which is okay. And then Allard sitting out there, and you could have just you didn't have to do that. Because if instead of freaking out, you could have just done this. You could have sent Tim Heron down. Even though Tim's been okay, he has options. You didn't have to designate Colby Allard and bring up Nickhazy unless you thought Heron couldn't throw that night and Allard couldn't throw and you needed somebody that night. Well, even if that was the case, you could have just sent out Tim Heron.
Dan, do you have any Tylenol? I'm trying to follow along on this. I get it.
So the point is this.
I feel like I'm playing Wordle, and I just used the same letter twice, and I knew you couldn't use it.
You passed up. You ran the
Charlie Day chart with the string going.
You ran the risk of giving up on a guy who's pitched pretty well for you in Colby Allard just to do a little shuffling when you could have just sent Tim Heron down. Maybe it was an inning thing. They thought they needed to cover themselves for one night for one inning.
Maybe they wanted a fresh arm in the bullpen.
But you ran the risk of giving up Colby Allard, which you might say, oh, no great shakes, except they just brought him back and went out of their way to do it by sending Heron down.
But nobody picked him up.
But they didn't, but they could have, because I was surprised, to be honest. And then he was going to opt for free agency. And if I was him, I'd have thought about it, because his ERA was like 2.55. He'd been pitching pretty well, and he does a lot of things. My main point is this. By the way, I just got a text. I got to tell you.
This better be good. Keep going.
From a former major league ball player.
Yes.
Who just told me my story about one of the kids on the team saying, "You played in the majors." It was a hilarious story. Yes, it was.
So wait a second. You've been able to explain this whole thing and read your text at the same time?
Well, the text was, that was a hilarious story. How tough was that to read?
Okay. Well, I mean, I was still trying to follow along with everything you're saying.
That was a hilarious story.
It just goes to show how well
I throw wiffle ball batting practice.
I just more want to point out the amount of times that he makes fun of us for left turns. Yes.
I was throwing curves like crazy.
I don't even think he put his blinker on.
He's in a backwards traffic circle right now.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. But here's the point. Boy, they ran the risk of losing a pitcher who's actually pitched pretty well for them. They ran that risk, yet they keep rolling out guys hitting 140 and don't want to make decisions on these guys?
Okay, so I listened to the whole story you just told. It kind of makes sense, but you're right.
I took it back to that point, because that's the point.
Why are they so willing to sit here and let the bottom of the order all hit under, what, 167?
Yeah, but 188. Let's put a guy whose ERA is 2.55 and he's a lefty and he's throwing well for us. Let's DFA him.
So it's like, yeah, it's like they'll do surgery. They'll do surgery when it comes to pitching, but they'll just slap a Band-Aid on it when it comes to hitting, right?
We got anybody in AAA who can hit 165 up? You bring him up. Bring him up. By the way, Jonathan Rodriguez had a nice hit last night. Here's the thing. I know Jonathan's not hitting. I know John Kenzie's not hitting.
And it was timely.
They look like ball players, don't they?
Last night they did.
Oh, my God. Please, one of you guys hit.
Am I the only one with hope now?
Put Nolan Jones in center field and one of you guys hit and play right field. You're not going to platoon John Kenzie Noel and Jonathan Rodriguez, because they're basically the same guy. The only difference is one's from the Dominican and one's from Puerto Rico. They're the same guy. One of you, please hit. Please. That's all I ask. One of you, please hit.